Hi, folks. Happy Mother's Day. It's good that you could join us this morning. I hope you have sent your mother or thought about your mother this morning, if she's with us, to celebrate today. Today, we're going to spend some time at the end of the message just praying for mothers, but I would like to talk to you today about a biblical perspective on motherhood. If you join me as we look and try to understand what God intends in motherhood. You know, some of us may have good memories. Some of us may not have such good memories about mothers. There are some who want to be mothers but can't. Some who decide not to be mothers. Some who haven't had very good experience with mothers. But that doesn't mean that God didn't intend for motherhood to be something ordained by him and something special. So today, as we look at motherhood, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something really dear, that God's intent for motherhood is something very, very special to each and every one of us, regardless of your circumstance. So if there is a void in your life because of motherhood, whether it's because of your experience or someone close to you, then I want you to understand this. That void is fulfilled in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you'll see more of what I mean by that as we go along, as we talk about what it means to be a mother. Motherhood has been flawed by sin. There's no doubt about that. But there are some really good things about mothers that are still part and parcel, that have not been flawed, so to speak. In God's sovereignty, he keeps true to our heart, things that you'll understand. The first scripture I want you to look at is Isaiah 49:15. Isaiah 49:15. If you will pray, join me in prayer as you're looking through your Bible that you've got sitting on your lap this morning, ready to follow along with me. Join me in prayer, will you? Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you have just ordained motherhood, that you created it, that motherhood exists because you made it come about. And God, that you have a special place in this calling, in this position that you have set up, God. I pray today, Lord, that we will get a better understanding not only of what motherhood was supposed to be or what it's supposed to be like, but what it is like in many cases, and what you're like in and through it, how you reveal yourself through it. God, I pray that today that each and every person listening to the sound of my voice would be blessed and drawn closer to you, all because today we celebrate Mother's Day. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray that you would anoint this message by your Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, and speak to hearts who are listening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 59:15. This is for those who may be struggling a little bit with this motherhood thing. Can a mother forget the baby of her breast and have no compassion on a child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, what God is doing here, what God is saying, is that even if you're, you know, naturally a mother can't forget. Even naturally a mother does bring a baby to her breast. A mother looks after her baby. But when that's corrupted by sin, when that does not the case, he says, I will not forget you. I want you to know that I am there for you, God says. I am there for you and I love you. And this is not the intent I had for you. And I want you to know that I will fill that void for you. I will come in and make myself known to you in those places of emptiness and void that are taking place in this area of your life. I love you, God says. I love you. So to every single person out there, understand that his good intent was to tell us that he loves us through motherhood. And even when it's corrupted by sin, he still wants us to know this. So going forward with this, I mean, I want to ask you the question, or we need to ask the question, or ask God the question, I should say. Why mothers, God? Why mothers? Why did you create mothers? I mean, if we think about it, God could have did the same thing he did in the very beginning. He created Adam from the dust of the ground and Eve from a rib. Why didn't he just keep doing that? He didn't do it that way, though. He continues not to do it that way. He continues to create human beings. He create those who are called in to be like God, called into his image. He creates us knitted together in our mother's womb. We'll read that scripture in a minute, but God ultimately allows mothers, get this, this is special, God ultimately allows mothers to be intimately involved in the creative work of God. Wow. You think about that for a moment. Intimately involved in the creative work of God. That God chooses to create a human being made in his likeness, knitted together in his mother's womb, their mother's womb, his or her mother's womb. Yeah, sure, man has a part to play in this, and it's very important that we consider those things, but today is Mother's Day, and we're going to consider mothers, and we'll talk about more about the other stuff on Father's Day, okay? But today is about mothers. Psalms 139, as you've already heard me quote, "For you are created in my inmost being." 139:13. "For you are created, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." There's an intimate detail here that we need to take note of. There's a healthy understanding of a mother. If they were seeking after God and wanting to know God more, they need to understand the privilege and the honor that God has given them to be a mother. They need to understand that God naturally gives us the ability, if things haven't been corrupted by sin, naturally gives mothers the desire to feed, to cuddle, to protect, to teach, and to love unconditionally. Who does that sound like to you? Who does that sound like to you? That God has given mothers the privilege of, with these God-like characteristics, to be able to look after what he has knitted together in her womb. He's allowed her to feed, to cuddle, to protect, to teach, and to love unconditionally. The creator of life, there's no doubt that God is the creator of life. He is the one who makes life happen. But isn't it an amazing privilege for a mother, one soul, one life-giving soul, to be part and parcel of another life-giving soul? There's a idea of intimacy here, an intimacy that I suggest cannot be found in anywhere else in this world. There's no one else who has the awesome privilege of joining this closely to the creative work of God. I search my heart on this. I don't think there's anyone else who is given this privilege besides mothers to be able to join, to partnership, to be part and parcel, the very vessel where God creates his pride and joy, human beings. Think about that for a minute. I want you to contemplate that. I think of the privilege and the honor of that. God has given mothers a stewardship over his very precious creation, a special stewardship. Now, saying this, you know, right from the very beginning, right from when this baby starts to be formed in a mother's womb, after God decides to bring life into this world, and he's the one who decides to bring it into this world. As he decides to bring this world, he's given this natural instinct of mothers to protect. Saying God's saying, I want to protect you. He's given, and this carries on even far into after the womb, doesn't it? That God's given this ability or this natural instinct for mothers to want to protect their children. Right from early stages of being created, knitted together in a mother's womb. And that says to you, you know what? That we are to look after this baby. Mothers are to look after these babies right from the very beginning of the process where God begins this bringing life into existence. That means it's not up to us, no matter at what stage, to take this life away. That's what it means. It means God decides to knit the baby in the mother's womb. It's God's baby, first of all. I just wanted to throw that out there and help you understand the intimacy and the privilege it is to be a mother. We have protective, mother has protective instincts over her children. I know this, my wife, Lillian, still cares so deeply for our daughters. I care so deeply for my daughters too, but this is not about me. She has this motherly instinct, even now that they're adults. And my mother has these motherly instincts, even though I'm over 50 years old. There's this ability to, or the desire in us to look after our children, a desire in a mother to have this intimate relationship with her children. This is a God-given desire. God is saying through motherhood, I desire to protect you. You know that? The special gift through motherhood. As God provides a mother's role, we understand that what a mother is supposed to be. She comforts in times of sorrow. Isn't that not a godly attribute? She comforts, she teaches, she loves unconditionally, as I already mentioned. Who loves you like a mother who follows after God's own heart? Hosea 11:4 speaks about provision and care. If you turn your Bibles there, Hosea 11, verse 4. I lead them with cords. He's speaking about the Israelites here, but this is so true for his church as well. I lead them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek and bent down to feed them. You hear that? God says, I desire not only to love you, but I want you to look at it like a loving mother, to lift the baby to the cheek, to look after, to feed the baby, to take care of that baby. God desires for us to look at the motherhood that he's given us and see the attributes of God and his loving kindness and his care for us. He desires us to see his provision and care in us. Notice he says, bending down and lifting up are two things that he mentions in this passage. The bending down, the lifting up. How is that more evident than at the cross? He bends down with his mercy in our time of need. And he lifts us up to glory even though we don't deserve it. This is a loving God. And he wants to show us through the eyes of a mother, through the attributes of a mother, that this is how loving and kind he is. And I've given you the motherhood. I've chosen through motherhood that I would give you the care and the nourishment and the protection that you need. This is so critical for us to understand when we give gratitude to our mothers today, when we give gratitude to our God today, whose intent for us is to know that he loves us and knows that he cares for us. And this is how, one of the ways he shows us this. Understand this is a privilege and honor to you as well, mothers. I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. All the way back to the Old Testament. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carry them aloft. Like an eagle. Can you imagine? I just want you to picture that. The baby eagle, I don't know what's it called, eaglet, I guess, falls from the nest, and the mother catches them in the wings. It's when the baby can't fly, when the baby is helpless, when the baby can't do anything on her own. This is what God wants us to understand. Was when we are helpless, when we have nothing else that we can do on our own strength, when we are like children, just like babes in the crib, he is like a mother who comes along, and he comforts us, and he protects us, and he carries us. He carries us. The eagle carries these babies. He carries us and protects us. There's nothing like a mother strength to be able to carry us. I'm going to talk more about some personal testimony here in a minute, but you know, there's some pretty strong men in the world. There's some pretty strong men, and they've been called to a certain purpose and a certain place in the body of Christ. But there's something uniquely strong about a mother, a godly mother who cares for her children. There's something uniquely strong that causes her to persevere, to have a strength that man can't even understand, and an emotional strength, a perseverance, a longing to care for her children that man is almost doesn't quite get sometimes. They have their own attributes and their own characteristics, but there's something special about a mother's strength to persevere, to hang in there. I'm going to talk about that a little bit through the scriptures coming up. God says, I want you to know I will carry you through those times when you feel helpless. I want you to, can you picture this? I want you to lift your arms to me, God says, like a child lifts them to a mother. I want you to lift your arms to me and knowing that I will carry you. I watch mothers carry their children sometimes. I don't know where they get the endurance to do so. God says, I want you to know that I will carry you. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we're going to pull a couple of verses from here that are not together just to give you an understanding of what it's like to be a godly mother. This is time for mothers to pay attention and understand what God expects of us, what God expects of you, mothers. What makes a mother follow through on what God intends for her? In 2 Timothy verses 1, chapter 1, verse 5, Paul's talking to Timothy, kind of like an adopted father type figure, a spiritual father sort of thing. And he's talking to Timothy, and he says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Then I want you to skip down to chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. He continues this thought with Timothy about his spiritual life. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures and are able to make wise for salvation, that are able to make wise through salvation through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling Timothy that, you know, these women in your life, this mother and your grandmother in your life, are very special part of where you are today. They taught you the scriptures. They prayed for you. They were there for you. And these are the reasons why your salvation exists today. These are the reasons why how God has drawn you into himself, how he's revealed the truth to you. It's because of the ministry of your mother and your grandmother. God often uses women to bring people up, to nourish children up, to nourish the young souls up into this relationship with God. He often uses godly women to look out for it. We see that also in, we won't go there, but in the Old Testament, in Hannah, 1 Samuel, you see Hannah dedicates her son, at a promise, to the Lord. She knew that was the most important thing. She understood that the most important thing for her child is to follow God, to live for God. The most important thing for a child is to follow Jesus Christ. And often God will use women, the mothers of the children, to raise them up. Not that the father doesn't have a role, but like I said, there's an integrate part of the emotional aspects of a child's life that draws them to God. God's looking to mothers to raise their children up in a way that they can love God, that they can have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. There's something about the nourishment in the prayer life of a mother. There are many testimonies of how great godly men, look back to their mother's influence in their life. It's amazing. Just do a Google search. You'll see many. I'm just going to list a few for you here today. Hudson Taylor, a great Chinese missionary, the greatest, they say, a great Chinese missionary who wasn't always in the faith. His mother prayed intimately for him. He kind of drifted away from the faith. He kind of went about and got caught up in other things in the world and kind of ignored God, started living a life outside of his faith in Christ. But his mother said, but his mother prayed for him. And listen to this. And one day, that compulsion grew so to such a degree that she determined to pray for her son until she came to a sense of assurance that God would save him. Imagine the perseverance that take. She locked herself in her room and for hours pleaded that God would extend mercy to Hudson. And then, all of a sudden, she believed that God had answered her prayer. Her heart turned from a pleading to praise and worshiped God that he had indeed saved Hudson. The story continues as you look years down the road. They were separated at this time, and years down the road, they had got together and they talked about that very day. And he remembered his conversion. And it all had to do with her persevering prayer. That God decided to answer her prayer. And at that time, he used her and her diligence and her faith to reach her son for the Lord. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He became a great missionary for China. All started with his mother and her diligence. John Newton. You may recognize John Newton by the song Amazing Grace, who penned those words. He was a preacher and abolitionist, I should say. However you pronounce that. You know, he fought against slavery. When John Newton looked back on his life, he was quick to give credit to his mother. He's quick to give. He knew that his eventual salvation was inseparable from the early training that he received from his mother. As she rocked him on his knee, as he sat on her knee, as she read scripture to him, as she prayed for him on his behalf, John Newton knew that it was contributed to his mother. Charles H. Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers. Some of Charles' earliest memories were of his mother gathering the children together to read the Bible to them. She would plead with them to turn to Christ. She would plead with them. To her children, she became known as an evangelist and a teacher. as she watched her children. So Charles Spurgeon contributes much of his early life, as his even how God brought him to know him through his mother. John and Charles Wesley, who were great men of faith, who is a story that I really can't get into, but the Methodist movement was born out of their type of study. And they came, and there was a great awakening in a sense, where they come to know Jesus Christ, knowing that they're missing something. But they contributed to their relationship with their mother and how she would often pray for them and teach them. Charles Wesley wrote the words, and we've got a modern-day version of this, wrote the words of this hymn, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" All contribute these early teachings about their mother. Remember that, mother. You have a great influence on your child's life for Christ. Remember how God uses mothers. John Piper was another. Charles Stanley is another. Just to bring it closer to the day when we look at those who are preaching today, who God has used greatly. Both attribute much of their faith to the early teachings of their mother and how their mother persevered in prayer. These are just a few, and you could probably do a Google search and find many more. And the inspirations of mothers. Proverbs 31 verses 30 and 31 is really, this proverb is about God, or about a mother giving advice. Mother giving advice about how to find a godly woman. So listen to this mother's advice, just these last couple of verses. Charm is deceptive. I'm sorry, Proverbs 31, 30 and 31. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. It is her relationship with God that really matters. It is the influence that God desires for her children to know. That's the best thing a mother can do, is teach her children about Christ, to raise her children up about God. You think that you are a good mother? Let me ask you, how much time do you spend? How much time do you spend ministering to your children, teaching them about Jesus Christ, teaching them about God? God has created you first and foremost for this purpose, for this reason. Works God calls mothers to are those that are done in the great works that God has done in the name of Jesus Christ. It is here that you raise up godly men and women to make a difference in the world. It is here that you look at your children and say, I want you. The greatest thing I want for you is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to fall in love with him. So I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you and love you and care for you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you can know him and that you will be great, used greatly by him. Is that your desire? That is a godly mother. That is a godly mother. A godly mother is an encourager, a persevere, one who perseveres, especially in prayer. A godly mother is orderly. I know that most households would not be run orderly without a mother. A godly mother sees the privilege in serving like her Lord. A godly mother is full of grace. And last of all, a godly mother is totally dependent upon God. A godly mother loves her God and loves her husband. Now, in a godly household, this is where it needs to happen. In a godly household, sometimes when the household is not godly and the husband is not following Christ, it can be hard to do. But you need to show your children how much you love your husband. That's a godly mother. How much you love their father. It is here that the influences are built in the early role of a child's life. That's a godly mother. A godly mother understands that there's two separate roles. Now, sometimes this can't be lived out, and we live in a world where there are many single moms, and it's hard. But there are two separate roles that God has ordained. He's called the mother to do one role and the father to do another. Where this doesn't exist, and you probably experience it, it causes things to be unbalanced. God calls for a fatherly influence and a motherly influence. A godly mother understands that. I understand that sometimes these things have fallen away with sin, and they're hard to advise, but hard to come to understanding of how you can make this happen. But there is a church. For you women who have trusted in Christ as your Savior and you have children, I want you to know that the God has designed the church to be a substitute for when there's not one or the other, a mother or a father who follow godly influence. The church needs to be there for us. Remember that church, that we need to be there for those children, to teach them, to love them, to care for them as God calls us to. The last thing is kind of the icing on the cake here. I want you to grab a hold of this. This is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. I want you to think about how God decided to send his rescue. How God decided to save us. Was it not through a mother's womb? Think about it. Of all the ways that God could have sent his rescue, he chose to come through a woman's womb. He came in the way of a mother. He come in the way of Mary. Now, Mary is not divine. Don't get me wrong. Mary was a mother who had been blessed with the privilege of birthing the Jesus Christ, of bringing Jesus Christ, the man, into the world. That God chose her as a vessel. He blessed her, and she was truly blessed for that reason. She is still human. Now, this woman, Mary, spent much time with Jesus in her earthly life as a mother, caring for her son. You see, the narrative of the Bible shows Mary all through Jesus' life, even to the point upon the cross, Well, she stood there and watched her son suffer and die. Suffer and die. She was a regular mom, well, not regular in that fact, but she was a human mom who was watching her son suffer and die. And I suppose that she really didn't even understand or grasp the essence of that until later she had to come to the realization that she understood that in order for her very soul to be saved, her son had to die. Do you understand that? Do you understand that when you trust in Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross, this mother had to watch her son die, but with the understanding that he had to die. Now, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to how this mother stood beside the cross. This gives you an understanding of what it means to think of Mary's heart. The Benson commentary says this: neither her own danger, nor her sadness of the spectacle, nor the reproaches of insults or of the people could restrain her from performing the last office of duty in the tenderness of her divine son on the cross. She had a duty. She stood beside her son. Even though she might have been ridiculed or she might have been persecuted herself, there was nothing to stop her. There's an unconditional love that was born in her, that's born in every mother. A mother looks and stands beside her children, and she stands there. And this is an attribute that God has given mothers that says, you know what? This is what I'm like. I love you. I love you. So the earthly mother of Jesus stood at the cross, and the Heavenly Father was there at the same time. Think about that. Something to think about is how much God loves you and how he's giving us the blessing of motherhood. I hope that you will bless your mother today somehow. Send her a note, call, pray for her. For those who have lost mothers, I hope that you have great memories of how God has given you the privilege of motherhood. And for those who just suffer from not knowing their mother or not having the great mother experience, understand that God loves you and he fills that void with all those things that God wants to fill them with through motherhood. He fills that void. He loves you and cares for you. I want to take this time just to pray for a minute for you mothers out there, okay? Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this gift that you have given us of mothers. I thank you for those who have worked hard throughout the years that have just sometimes have just been alone in their struggles, trying to look after children, trying to feed children, trying to protect their children. I pray for those who are struggling to do that on their own. I pray that you will strengthen them, God, and give them the ability to be able to stand in the gap for their children and pray for them. I pray that you will encourage them to spend much time on their knees. I pray for those who live in fairly healthy households where both parents are there. I pray that they will learn to pray together. They'll learn to love one another, and that will be the example to their children. And they would lift up the name of Jesus in the household. I pray that today that mothers would feel special and honored because you have given them the great privilege of being involved in a creation of human beings. God, what a wonderful gift that is. And God, I pray that you will just encourage them and lift them up and build them up. God, I pray that you will help us as men to stand alongside them. I hope you help as children to their mothers to encourage them and to share with them how much we truly do love them. God, I pray that you will just bless them today. This day is a day that we think about mothers, but we also think about our God who's given us this great gift. God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.